welcome to another edition of Rohatbu, random selections of the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, deluxe edition, here on the Worst Collection Ever feed. I am your host, Sean. Normally Jen is with me, but as we've been detailing throughout this past couple weeks or whatever, we're currently in the midst of doing some remodeling and some reshifting and stuff around the house here. And things aren't really in the best place for us to record full podcasts, because everything is like, our comics are all in the garage and we don't know what we're going to read. And it's kind of a mess. And so we're just kind of putting this out there so that you folks can have something to listen to while we get our shit straight. But that's coming soon. You know, give us a few more weeks or whatever. I mean, I enjoy doing these, though. I really do. I enjoy just looking through this book, this massive book of official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, and just finding things to talk about. Sometimes they're really taxing because they're 4 pages long, like the Phoenix one, and that really sucked. But I did my best, and that's all you can really ask for. As far as like a house update, I mean, really not much else to report other than the fact that we got flies all over the fucking place. There's something, some sort of pipe or something that's got some standing water in it, and there's fucking flies in it, and it sucks because, you know, I'm killing the flies and there's just fly corpses all around. And I mean, it's not fun. I decided that I don't like all these goddamn flies. I mean, it's not like a plague, but it's rather uncomfortable, especially when you kill the flies and they try to escape out the window, but they don't make it and they die and they're just sitting in the windowsill. So we got all these dead fly bodies sitting in the windowsill. They got to vacuum their asses up and take care of it. So that is what I'm dealing with as of late. I'm not really crazy about it, but you know, you do what you can. I am actually using a microphone stand this time, so hopefully this sounds a little bit better. Hopefully I won't hit the table too much, because I like to move around when I record. I'm a gesturing type of fellow. I guess one other thing I wanted to bring up was Black Widow came out the past weekend. Went to go see it on Friday night, opening day. And, you know, we'll talk more about it once we get more into the mix of things. But, you know, when Jen gets back and we start doing that, I mean, but I'll just give a quick, you know, some quick thoughts. I thought it was fine. It felt kind of like, you know, why are we doing this now when we should have did it before? They really should have did it at some point in the middle of all the, when the actual, time occurrence was happening, you know, because the movie itself takes place, you know, just some spoilers here. I'm not going to get too crazy with it, but this movie takes place just after Civil War starts. So they're looking, Thunderbolt Ross and everybody is looking for the Avengers because the Sokovia Accords and all that business is going on. And this is kind of where Black Widow is in the middle of doing all this hoo-ha stuff that is pretty, I don't want to say it's inconspicuous because it's not, but you know, it does kind of draw attention to her, and she doesn't, it kind of makes sense why she ends up, I guess, helping out the Sokovia Accords or the, you know, the pro side, the pro registration side, I guess you would say. It's an action movie. It serves its purpose. There's some good scenes in it, some great set pieces. You know, I mean, just stuff that you would expect from a Marvel movie, you know, but it's not anything ground shattering, you know, but it's just, it exists for the fact that we needed a Marvel movie at some point, especially after the pandemic and everything like that that's been going on. So thankfully we have something to bridge the gap until now. We got something coming out in November with Eternals, and that'll be, I guess, kind of officially kicking off Phase 4. So we'll see how Eternals kind of turns out. I'm actually excited about that one. Because it's going to be something a little bit... Well, actually, shit, I forgot. Shang-Chi comes out in September. So, yeah, so we're back in it. So Shang-Chi's going to be great. And Eternals should be interesting. I'm interested in Eternals. So, you know, we won't talk much more about it. But, you know, once those movies come out, we'll try to get some spoiler episodes in. And y'all can dig that. So, anyways, let me get into the book, because that's why you're here. Well, that's why I'm here. Hopefully you're here for it, too. I definitely would like to hear your feedback as to whether or not you dig these or not. I dig doing them, as I said. I enjoy going through these things. This is my wheelhouse. So I'm going to go ahead and open up this book here and see what we run into. 3, 2, 1. Okay. Well, this one's only 2 pages, but it's a big man. Big man. Big name. Mysterio. That's right. Mysterio, who I was very fascinated by as a young comic book fan who didn't know much about him growing up, because I was never really like a Spider-Man kid. You know, of course, Mysterio being a Spider-Man villain, but I wasn't really into his whole into Spider-Man's stuff. You know, I was more of like, I guess if I was when I was younger, like I was more into like X-Men and not even that. I don't even know what I was into, to be honest. I remember reading Secret Wars though. And I also remember reading Transformers when I was younger. But yeah, Mysterio, I always wondered, because I was like, it wouldn't think occur to me that there's a man inside that fishbowl. But I always was curious as to like how he kind of functioned. But he's a very unique villain. And I think, just my opinion, because he's, you know, he dabbles in the subterfuge genre of chicaneries. And he's got a very interesting costume. I mean, there's essentially a fishbowl on his head. And but his color scheme, I love his color scheme. I love the way he looks. He's got the purple cape. He's got the green gridded bodysuit with some pretty cool gauntlets, too. I've always, something about his gauntlets, they're very ornate. Compared to the rest of his main outfit, but yeah, now he's a fellow Hollywood transplant, now living in New York City, base of operations. What does it say here? Mobile. Okay, so he's not really in New York City, but he does spend some time there, because that's where he fucks with Spider-Man. So that's to be presumed. Anyways, let's get into it. Mysterio, real name Quentin Beck. Occupation, former Hollywood special effects designer and stuntman, now professional criminal. Legal status, citizen of the United States with a criminal record. Former aliases Ludwig Reinhardt. I like that. That sounds like a what's his face? It sounds like a composer. Definitely with Ludwig. Reinhardt sounds like a composer / Polish butcher. I don't know. It's like, I knew a kid named Reinhardt. They spelled it differently, but I for some reason I immediately came to think of meat when I think of the word Reinhardt. Anyways, place of birth, Riverside, California. So he is sort of SoCal. So he grew up in that area. Riverside's a bit more. I'm probably going to mistake this, but I feel like it's a bit more southeast of California, of like Los Angeles and Hollywood. So, you know, he grew up in the area where it makes it pretty simple for him if he wanted to get into, you know, Hollywood stuff, as he ended up doing, just take a drive over there. You know, you don't have to go very far, but that's pretty convenient. I always kind of wished I lived in California, like growing up. That would have been kind of neat. I kind of wish I was a California boy. Could have enjoyed the beach more. Could have maybe have somewhat of a tan, because I'm not pale, but I'm not tanned. I don't look healthy, as like those California people do. Known relatives, excuse me, I'm jumping ahead here. Marital status, single. Grown, known relatives, none. Group affiliation, former member of the Sinister Six, former partner of the Wizard. That's a pretty good pairing. We'll probably learn more about that. First base of operations mobile. First appearance as Bogus Alien, Amazing Spider-Man number 2. As Mysterio, Amazing Spider-Man number 13. So it does make sense that he would think that he was an alien. That's what I kind of thought he was too. I thought there was some sort of monster underneath that hood. I didn't realize it was just a dude. But he was an alien before he was the real deal. Quentin Beck started his career as a Hollywood movie stuntman. Did I mention he was a stuntman? I just said he was a special effects designer, didn't I? Oh, I guess not. I didn't realize he was a stuntman. That's actually pretty smart, because that gets you into two unions, because there's a stuntman union, and I'm certain there's like a special effects union, or maybe maybe there is now. Maybe there wasn't back when he was then. But, he's double dipping, you know. He can get some bennies from two places. That's real smart. I don't know why he decided. We're going to find out, because I'm going to read this. I'm not going to read all of it. But soon he became more interested in the field of motion picture special effects. In a short time, he became one of the most accomplished effects designers in the industry. Him and Rick Baker and Tom Savini, the triumvirate of special effects men. Well, not really more. They're more into gore. I don't know what his gore specialties were. Quentin Beck was motivated by a desire to escape the limited recognition of his behind-the-scenes occupation. Beck tried to become an actor, but was met with little success. A joking suggestion by a friend gave him the idea of using his technical knowledge to kill Spider-Man. Jesus Christ! Well, his friend's a psycho. He's like, hey man, you know, it'd be kind of cool if you killed Spider-Man. I know you're just a struggling actor, but why don't you go kill that bouncy guy in New York. He's like, he's halfway across the nation. He's fully across the nation. So what the hell are you? Why are you singling out some kid? There's no superheroes you can try to kill in California. I'm certain there were. Beck became fascinated with the concept of duplicating Spider-Man's feats. Okay, so that makes more sense. He moved to New York City and studied Spider-Man intently for months, filming him in action and collecting fallen pieces of his webbing to see if it could be duplicated. Yeah, that had always been strange, because Spider-Man's flopping around and he's got that webbing that he created on his own. So it's probably just like a weird foreign substance. I don't know if it becomes brittle or if it becomes moist and sloppy once it's done, because that's kind of gross. That's gross for Spider-Man. You know, he should be more careful with that. Maybe it should be dissolve in midair. Maybe it does. I don't know. I don't care. You know what? I'm not gonna. Maybe if I read Spider-Man, maybe I'll learn more about it. But God, I really hope I don't get Spider-Man in one of these things. That's like six pages or something like that. I can't handle that. But I'll do it for you if I have to. Let's see. He arranged an anonymous encounter with his intended victim. Beck contacted the criminal known as the Tinkerer, outfitting him and his accomplices with equipment that made them appear to be extraterrestrials. Oh, I didn't realize he had a thing with the Tinkerer. Beck himself participated in their illegal activities and escaped when they were defeated. The special effects he designed were convincing enough to cause Spider-Man to think that they were authentic aliens. That's right. He made Spider-Man believe, as if becoming radioactive wasn't enough. He also made him believe in aliens. Following that encounter after more months of preparation, Beck completed his Spider-Man simulating costume. He also created the mass identity of Mysterio for himself. He planned to discredit Spider-Man by committing crimes in his guise, and then gain fame by capturing and defeating the real Spider-Man. Yeah, that sounds kind of actually how the movie went with Jake Gyllenhaal with the last Spider-Man movie. Kind of has that vibe where he came off as a hero and he was kayfabing. Moving on, the attempt failed and Spider-Man defeated him, at which time Mysterio was arrested for his crimes he committed in the false Spider-Man guise. After a brief prison term, Mysterio was paroled and renewed his illegal activities. He briefly combined forces with the Sinister Six, himself, Dr. Octopus, Vulture, the Sandman, Electro, and Kraven the Hunter. I wonder if he was like, hey, Vulture, why are you so old? Because that's the question I always had. I always found it. I was always interested by like really old dudes like doing like regular things like sports and crime. I guess like I was always fascinated by like when you get those baseball cards and it was like Phil Niekro or Don Sutton or some other old pitcher, and it's like he's like they're like in their like 40s or 45 or whatever, and granted they look old as shit, but which is fascinating because I'm almost that age and I don't look anything like that. I don't think I would. You look at a baseball card and be like, "That guy's old," you know. But some of these guys are really old. But I always wondered about the vulture, because the vulture was like Abe Vigoda. Like they drew him like he was Abe Vigoda, but he was kind of ripped. But he's also like really skinny. But also he flew around and he somehow gave Spider-Man a lot of trouble. And I'm like, well, how is that possible? He's just like an old skinny dude, and he just flies around. Like what can he do? That that Spider-Man can't handle, because Spider-Man is like, you know, like to my knowledge, I mean, I don't think Adrian Toomes was, you know, in his Abe Vigoda phase, it was super strong. So I don't know why Spider-Man can't just be like plink and just knock him out. So I don't know. Those are the questions I would have. During his second brief imprisonment, he learned the art of hypnosis and sleight of hand. I kind of would have pegged him to have that already figured out, you know? I mean, but you know what? You're always learning. You're always learning in this world. And I appreciate Mysterio picking up some new skills. Can't say that much more for the Vulture. He was just an old guy in a green bird suit. Upon his release, he created the pseudonym of Dr. Ludwig Reinhardt. Oh, that's a doctor name. Okay, yeah. You know what? He's not a Polish butcher. He's a doctor, and I respect that. And he used his technological and psychological weaponry in an unsuccessful attempt to drive Spider-Man insane. Mysterio was captured and served another prison sentence. This is like his third sentence. Jesus Christ. Upon his release, he established a brief partnership with the Wizard. The Wizard, who both, probably because they both had like weird helmets, because the Wizard's got like this wicked, like bulbous helmet, and so does, and obviously, you know, Mysterio's got a fishbowl in his head. So they're probably like, yo, let's team up at the Helmet Squad. Moving on, the Wizard, a criminal who on occasion fought the Human Torch, though their plan was to kill the Torch and Spider-Man was set in Hollywood, familiar ground for Mysterio, it failed when they were imprisoned. During this term, okay, so this is like four terms. Either he should be like there for life. Like, I don't know how he's getting all this parole. Because during this term, Mysterio revealed his many secrets to a fellow inmate called Daniel Burkhart, who's setting him up to become the new Mysterio. Oh, okay, so I didn't realize there was two Mysterios. Burkhart attempted to get vengeance on Spider-Man in a gesture of gratitude to Beck. He failed, however. Creating the illusion of his own death, Beck escaped prison. Well, that's one way to get out. And presumed his identity of Dr. Ludwig Reinhardt, who was a doctor with a fishbowl on his head. By this time, his goals were much more oriented toward profit and then fame, and his next endeavor involved behind the scenes of manipulation in a nursing home. He resumed... Oof. He kind of took a turn there. He went from the bright lights of Hollywood crime to messing with old people, messing with the elderly, man. That's not cool. You gotta respect your elders, I guess. He resumed his Mysterio identity when Spider-Man again intervened. When involved in this scheme. I don't know what the scheme is. He doesn't really say here. Mysterio became aware of a large force. Oh, okay. So he's trying to get money from old people, particularly Ben Parker. This is actually kind of ties into the Ben Parker thing, because he was trying to get the money in Ben Parker's house that was presumably there. So I guess that's what his gimmick was. Though his first attempt to find it failed, it was certain that May Parker or her nephew Peter knew the location of the treasure. He spent months developing an elaborate plan to frighten them into revealing that information. So was he like, oh, hey, you know, we're going to raise the rent here. The property values are going up. You better pull that money out. Scare you into going into the bank with bags of money. Cause you know where it is. Something, something, bogus aliens. His only gain was the discovery of that money had long ago been destroyed by Silverfish. That's right. Silverfish ate all that money. How come there's not a villain called Silverfish? There's Silvermane. There's Silver Fox. There's Silver Sable. Why not Silverfish? He could, hide in your walls and annoy you on summer nights. After a short stint in prison, so it's like his fifth deal here, Mysterio escaped and attempted revenge on Spider-Man with a new arsenal of tricks. He was defeated again, however, and sent back to prison. So he is there for, I guess you would say, the sixth time. All right. Let's reel this in here. Height 5'11", weight 175, eyes blue, hair black, strength level. Mysterio possesses the normal human strength of a man of his age, height, and build who engages in moderate, regular exercise. Known superhuman powers? None. Abilities? Mysterio is a skilled fighter and athlete who designed an extensive repertoire of special effects and devices and stage illusions. He is a master hypnotist and prestidigitator, able to perform multiple sleights of hand simultaneously. So he's Jeff Dunham. or you want, let's pick somebody cooler. Chris Angel. Chris Angel should have been Mysterio, man. We should have cast him in there. Should have had Jake Gyllenhaal kayfabe as Chris Angel. Mysterio is also a skilled amateur chemist. Oh, that's not good. Sounds like those guys who I remember when I go to the gym in Buffalo, and my friend was like, yeah, I know these guys that they would they make steroids in their basement. I just imagine them being amateur chemists with like sleeveless lab coats. Mysterio is also a skilled amateur chemist who concocted a variety of explosives, hallucinogens, and toxins of varying strength and effects. His methods of operation frequently involved extensive manipulation of his surroundings and of his victim's own senses through mechanical and hypnotic means. This causes the victim to doubt his own perceptions, preparing his ability to reason and act effectively. Yeah, he's pretty good at doing that. He's really good. That's the thing about it. I don't read a lot of Mysterio comics, but a lot of times when you kind of catch up with like Spider-Man's history and he's involved, like he's really good at Spider-Man. Like he's like Spider-Man's like Sting in WCW. Like he gets fooled all the time by Mysterio. Mysterio wears a person on his person, numerous accessories designed to foster illusions. His helmet is a fishbowl, quotes, of one-way plexiglass, which prevents his face from being seen without impairing his vision. It contains his own half-hour air supply. Running underneath his costume are tubes that emit thick vision-obscuring gas through nozzles in his gloves and boots. Carried in canisters attached to the back of his uniform, this dense, smoky fog serves to mask his entrances and can be mixed with various toxins and hallucinogens. Let's see. Mysterio also has holographic lasers, mirrors, hypnotic aids. He's a mirror master, hidden in various pockets in the back of his suit. That's a lot to carry in that suit because the suit looks like skin tight, but like somehow he manages to like fit all those gimmicks into one suit and, I don't know. I call shenanigans. Base of operations is mobile. He prefers to work in an enclosed area, such as a motion picture sound stage. See, that's kind of bullshit because he's got to get somebody to come to the stage, and you can't get on the lot unless there's a tour. Those tours are expensive. Peter Parker can't afford that on a freelance salary. Using elaborately constructed set and post-hypnotic suggestion, Mysterio was able to once convince Spider-Man that he, Spider-Man, was 6 inches tall. On another occasion, he adapted an entire house to contain moving rooms, holographic projectors, and disappearing and reappearing parts. He put months of preparation into his illusions, only to go to jail 5 times. Mysterio has an extensive knowledge of robotics. Oh, so he's an amateur robotics, robotist. He has produced full-size duplications of the X-Men, a gigantic gorilla, and normal-sized doppelgangers of a cat and a bat, which doubled as holographic projectors and surveillance cameras. While not on the level of Victor Von Doom, Mysterio's grasp of robotics is still highly advanced. Yeah. Dr. Doom is the best. Sit back there, Jabroni. You Mysterio. Let the master go to work. All right. I'm fading here because maybe I'm being affected by these hallucinogens. Let's talk about these pictures real quick. So I talked about his outfit. We also have another picture here of Spider-Man with his arm in a sling, surrounded by a bunch of Mysterios holding guns, which are all fake. Then we also have Spider-Man leaping at a cloud of where Mysterio is kind of like doing up like a Fosbury flop away from him. We also got the aforementioned Spider-Man being 6 inches tall, where Mysterio is gigantic. Also got Spider-Man shooting some webs at Mysterio and Mysterio kind of dissipating them. And then just a good old-fashioned Spider-Man trying to punch Mysterio in the face. And Mysterio's got gases coming out of his boots. So that's pretty much Mysterio for this edition of Rohatmu. If you have any questions or you want to just talk to me about what these what this book entails, because there's a lot going on in this book, and I look forward to getting into more of it as we go along, maybe at least for another couple more weeks. You can email the show at worstcollectionever@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean, that's S-H-A-W-N, or you can find Jen at Jen Stansfield. You can also find us on Facebook, and that's at Worst Collection Ever. You can dig us up over there. Also, my YouTube is at AngryHero79, where I open up action figures and do other stuff. And please rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get this show, and tell your friends. That'd be really dope. So once again, folks, thanks for listening, and talk to you again next time.